What's up, guys? I'm Cora.
And I'm Sharon.
And this is Learning on the Job, a podcast for moms.
Join us as we talk about our highs and lows and everything in between on this journey of motherhood. What is up, everyone? Welcome back to the Learning on the Job podcast. I want to apologize to everyone for my mic quality the past few episodes. So I really hope that this week is better, but we will see. It's going to be a work in progress. But back by popular demand, this week, Cora and I are joined with Alex and Jovita, who I'm sure y'all all remember have been on the podcast before. So, hey, guys, how are y'all doing?
Hi. I'm here.
How are all the kiddos?
Buddy's doing good. He's asleep right now. He's crazy energetic lately.
I feel that.
Juju's all right. He's running around with Juice and Paw Patrol.
Well, this week we are doing a goals for raising little boys episode since we did a goals for raising little girls episode with just me and Cora. So this week we have our two boy moms that we know joining us so that y'all can kind of tell us what y'all's goals are for raising your boys. And Cora and I can just kind of give our feedback pretty much. So this is mainly y'all's episode this week.
Cool.
It's intimidating.
Oh, it is a little bit.
I mean, seriously, Sharon and I are just here like shooting the shit. So don't feel intimidated. We literally just make notes apps and then read lists. So, and then give our opinions, which I think you guys are good at all that. So,
yeah. And I'm sure there's going to be a lot of overlap. Like some of the stuff that y'all talk about, I think can relate to us and our girls as well. So like what we can comment on that. But again, we're pretty much just focusing on the boys and kind of what y'all want them to grow up to be in the world.
So Jovita, what's the first thing that you put on your list?
A big one for me, just like because I've noticed how this generation, I know you want to show them your ball. Judah wanted to show you his ball. So
I like your ball, Judah.
And he is very excited about talking these days. Oh, and there he goes. So like a big thing for me that's like been on the top of my mind is for him to just be respectful. Just because, like, I don't know if it's, like, a generational thing or if it's just, like, the way the world's changing. But, like, I've sort of noticed there's just, like, different ways that children react with their parents and their elders these days. You know, they're very different from when we were kids. I think seeing how my mom has had to adjust because I've got three younger siblings that are adopted, and they're from a different generation, and so my mom and dad had to adjust to the new like teen culture, I guess, because like when we grew up we didn't have social media constantly giving us feedback on how we should act and how we think our parents should act towards us. But now my younger siblings do. And they're like, well, so-and-so's parents on the internet is doing this. And I'm like, so-and-so's parent is not raising you. And that's just kind of like how I want Judah to be like, okay, yes, this is how this child acts. And that's, you know, if it's okay for them, it's okay for them. But I know. I always want him to remember to be respectful, regardless of how the world changes. I want him to, I don't know, just like saying yes, sir, yes, ma'am. So many people are like, don't call me sir, ma'am. It makes me feel old. But for me, it was just like a Southern thing. You grew up respecting people, you know, I think you're old. It's just, I respect you. And so I want him to have that value because when you treat people with respect, you get kindness in return.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, obviously we want to have a world full of considerate, respectful people. So I think that that's definitely important.
Alex, do you have anything to weigh in on that?
No, I mean, I agree wholeheartedly. I think that that is an excellent goal for not only our kids, but like also for ourselves, because even as adults, sometimes we like aren't always respectful towards each other, especially when we're like elevated in our emotions. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a good reminder for us too.
So yeah,
Alex,
I definitely agree.
Alex, what's the first thing on your list that you had?
Yeah, so the first thing that I want to teach Buddy, but also extend to both of my stepkids, is just for them to be like fearlessly themselves, like whatever that means, like, you know, let your freak flag fly type of thing. Like if you want to be all about sports, do that. More power to you. If you want to do like dance or be into chess or Harry Potter or Pokemon or anything, like awesome, do that. And if you want to dance in the kitchen, that's a big thing at our house, like do it. And it doesn't matter who's there or who's around or who might be, like I want them to just grow up loving who they are and not being afraid to be that person.
I agree. I really like that. That's definitely something that I think Cora and I have kind of touched on a few times here and there, is that we want our girls to grow up and be themselves, and we kind of just want to guide them. And I know Jake and I, we were raised in a way where we were pretty much able to do a bunch of different things growing up to figure out what we liked and who we are. And that's something that we want Jenny to do, is like if Jenny wants to, like you were saying, do sports, or if she wants to join certain clubs or try different activities, we don't want to push her in one way or the other. We kind of want to let her try different things out and figure out who she is and what she likes to do.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
I have a goal that's sort of similar to that. I guess like in like, you know, being who you are, whatever you want to be, it's just like being comfortable who you are, like in general, more so like in the body positivity way, because boys struggle with it too. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of women talk about like, I don't want to let my daughter see when I'm criticizing my own body, but I don't want Judah to see me that doing that either. Because I've seen men struggle with it, and like, you know, they're constantly working on who they are and not accepting themselves because, you know, they think someone else thinks they should be a certain way. And I want him to just love who he is, you know, and not have that like stigma or struggle.
Yeah.
I love that. That's great. I don't think it's talked about enough how it is common with boys and men as well. I think that's great. For that to be a goal of yours, not
yeah. Yeah, no. And you know, and it really does go along with, you know, like be who you are, be whoever you want to be. But love who you are essentially first, because that's how you are comfortable in who you are.
Mm-hmm. I know that I mentioned it in our raising girls episode, but Cora and I kind of talked about that from the girl standpoint. And I pretty much said that while I don't want Jenny to see me struggling with this, like I do want her to know that everybody does struggle, because I don't ever want her, like if I try to hide anytime I don't feel good about myself or I don't feel confident, I don't want her to think that she's alone when she does feel those things. I'd rather be a little more open about it. Like I'm not gonna not keep a scale in the house because I want to have one, and I'm just not gonna try to fixate on it. But I know that like there's days whenever nothing I put on looks good on me, and I'd rather her know that I'm dealing with it too, so that if she ever has those issues, then she can come to me and I can be a little outlet for her to try to help her get past it. And I mean, I would love if she doesn't have those, but I mean, even people who, like, even small people and big people, like, they all have their own insecurities. People have insecurities about different things that, like, we don't even know about. And so I more so don't want her to feel alone in it. So I don't want to hide my own stuff. But yeah, I know a lot of people don't even think about it from the guy's standpoint or the guy's perspective. So what's the next one on y'all's list? Or Jovita, you can go first with that one.
Oh, okay.
How about Alex go, since I think that was one that Jovita just read.
I kind of like piggybacked off of one of Alex's and gave another one of mine. So
I liked it. The natural transition.
Okay, well, I'm going to go with a missed opportunity here then and skip to one of mine is to, for everybody to just be kind. So could have put that one first. It would have been better for the transition. But I just want to, and it's something that I'm openly working on with my step, because like they know it's something I have trouble with, is being empathetic and really putting myself in someone else's shoes to think about like what they're going through, and just extending that kindness, not only like saying hi to someone or complimenting someone's shoes or like picking up someone's pencil, but just being kind in the purest form when someone's having a bad day, and taking a step back and being like, okay, well, what could be going on? And then being like, okay, well, let me not yell at them because they yelled at me. And just being like, oh wow, it sounds like you're having a hard time. I'm sorry about that. And then not taking it personally or whatever. So really just trying to teach him to be kind and to, I don't even know how to put it into words, just truly be empathetic towards everyone. And also knowing that it is a process to get there. Like, it's not something you wake up knowing. Like, even with my 9-year-old stepson, will be like, well, how would you feel if someone said that to you? Well, I don't care if they say it to me. Da, 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 da. And, okay, well, you can work on that too. Or, like I said, we're very open about all of my struggles with it. And like, it's something I'm working on too. We can work on it together. But yeah, so I really want to work on that from a young age with him and try to power through it. And hopefully I'll be a little bit further in my journey with it by the time he's 9.
I like that one.
I have the same goal for Judah. I put, so what I wrote down is kindness matters and it can change someone's whole world. And it kind of came back up recently for me. You never know like the memories people have of you until they tell you what they are. And I reconnected recently with someone that I was friends with in high school. And he had a memory of the two of us that I had completely forgotten. But to him, it was a moment where I was kind to him, and no one had ever been that kind to him before. And so it like stuck with him. And I was like, I don't even remember saying that. But your kindness does matter, whether you remember it or not. And it should be practiced in every facet of your life, unless it's a detriment to yourself. And that's one thing that I want Judah to like remember, because kindness is a good thing, but it also can be taken advantage of. And that's why I want him to know, like, it should be practiced in every possible way, unless it like can bring harm to you, because some people will take advantage of that kindness. But, you know, first and foremost, I didn't even like really think of that at the top of my list until recently. I was reminded that like people remember all the kind moments you give to them. And sometimes they even remember the harsh moments, and you won't even remember that time. But I think often we fixate on the negative things we do, like the dumb thing we said that one day. We'll remember it and no one else will, but they will remember our kindness. And so that's why that's also one of my goals for Judah.
I love that.
Yeah,
for both of you. And I definitely agree. That's just like something I think about a lot, is the things that the impact you make on other humans, what and so much of it is impacts that you don't even mean to make, the little things that you just do or say that are probably like innate parts of our personalities. But that's like why it's important to start early, because it's like we're raising little humans, so they're going to go out there and impact other people in the world. And I feel like it's our responsibility to make sure that they're good people.
I agree. All right, what's next?
Hold on. I had written this down and I was just reading it. I thought it was part of a different point. But I wrote down, it's always been an ick of mine when people treat others like they're above someone else based on like occupation, skin color, ethnicity, gender, whatever. I forgot I wrote that down. But it is an ick of mine that like, you're no better than someone else. So just be kind, you know? Because like, I want that kindness for him so that he can like stand up and practice kindness for other people when he can safely. But like sometimes, you know, you have to fight meanness with kindness, and there are still a lot of people who treat other people like they're less than them because of their circumstances, and that's just like, it gets to me so bad.
And I think social media is a really big issue with that, because everybody's stronger when they're hiding behind a screen. And that's definitely something that like Cora and I've talked about, is trying to preserve their innocence a little bit and try to keep them away from some of that, because yeah, people are so cruel online. And I mean, that can go into a whole like cyberbullying topic in general, but I mean, just trying to be kind and not put yourself above somebody else and hide behind a screen to do it. But Alex, what's your next one?
Yeah, so one that is really important to me and in our house already is just that like all emotions are healthy emotions, and like they're all okay to feel and to have. So whether, you know, you're overly ecstatic about something or incredibly frustrated at something, like, or upset or angry or hurt, sad, like all of those negative feelings are okay to have, and they shouldn't be ignored or pushed down. You know, you should truly just like recognize them and accept that you're having those negative feelings, and then find a way to work through them. Or, you know, even sometimes you just have to sit with those emotions and feel them before you work through them and stuff. And this is another one that is something I have been working on for my whole life, and that's why it's important for me to pass that on to Buddy and the other kids. But just knowing that all of your feelings are valid and okay, and then finding a way to like regulate how you respond to those emotions, like physically. So like if you're angry, don't yell at someone. If you're mad at the video game, don't throw your remote control or whatever. We haven't had that topic yet, thankfully. but things like that, like recognizing the feeling, knowing the feeling's okay, and then working through how to process that is something that I think is very important. But truly the emphasis on recognizing that all of the emotions are perfectly okay to feel and okay to talk about and have conversations about, and you don't have to keep them to yourself and hide with them or hide from your emotions. But it's okay to have those difficult conversations about emotions, because so many people hate talking about those things. And I think as you go up in the generations, it just gets worse. Like my grandpa, like he never talked about emotions. And then I talked to my grandmother and she said like her father like was so stoic. Like she grew up in a household where like he wouldn't even hug her until he was an adult. But it's not out of like he didn't love her, it's just that the way he was. And I think that is generational, because she was born in the 40s So he was probably born like in the 20s, right? We were dealing with all the wars and the depression and whatever else. So, you know, just hoping to do a little bit better for the newer generation.
I like that one a lot, especially because we're raising boys that will become men, and often men are told that they're not supposed to have emotions, which exactly. is like so detrimental to their mental health and to their development. Like, your emotions are important and they're valid, and it's okay to have all of them. I really like that goal, Alex.
Yeah, and I mean...
Oh, go ahead, Cora.
I was just going to say, I mean, I think, you know, we've probably all met a man in our life that, like, had trouble, like, dealing with emotions for one reason or another, because it's just something that's ingrained in our society and has always, yeah, been taught from a young age. And I feel like our generation is the first generation that's trying to break that from, you know, humans in general. But I think it is really important in boys, because they just don't get that at all in society. It's just tied your emotions, just like you guys said.
Yeah, I was gonna say, of all the ones that y'all had sent us previously whenever we were texting about this, this is one that I wish I would have put on my list for Jenny. Mainly because, I mean, like, I feel like our generation is kind of split, because, like Cora said, we're the first generation that's kind of trying to change it massively, I feel like. But our generation is a little split because we were still raised by people who treated boys like that, or treated us like that. Like, I have people in my family who that's how they are. And I mean, like, just using Jake as an example, like, that's how he was raised. And while he doesn't agree with everything that his dad did, there's just certain things that it's not necessarily that he agrees or disagrees with, but just certain things that that's the way that he feels. Like, he, if he's upset, he doesn't hold a grudge onto it for really long. He gets over it and moves on. While me, I kind of sit in my emotions and feel it, because I feel like if I just move on, I don't really get over it. Like, I feel like I'm just going to be upset all day if I don't take time to actually stew in my anger or whatever, and, like, let everything flow out. So I definitely agree that, like, if we ever have a boy, that's something that is really going to have to be worked on, because that's stuff that Jake and I still work on, just us trying to handle our own emotions.
I mean, to this day, I would always joke, I don't emotion well. But, like, I don't, because I grew up with mostly boys. They were all older than me. And then my father was pretty much stoic. You know, he was still affectionate with us, but he didn't really show emotions outside of, like, the family. And then my brothers were all like, why are you crying so much? That's so wimpy, blah, blah, blah. And I was raised by boys, basically, you know, because I had so many older brothers that, like, I joke that I don't emotion well, but I still don't emotion well.
Yeah, I feel like that's a big common thing with girls who are raised by very strong men who don't feel their emotions, or, like, a lot of guys, like, with brothers and stuff. If that's what you're around, I feel like it just kind of takes over everybody pretty much. And, like, crying is viewed as a weakness for girls, and feeling anything other than just stone emotion is a weakness for men. Like, they're viewed like they have to be in the power suit and they can't feel anything else. And then girls, as soon as you shed a tear or get puppy dog eyes, like,
and that's why women are looked at as inferior in the first place, because they show more emotion. You know, the age old joke is like, oh, a woman could never run the country because she would be too full of emotion. She'd make too many rash decisions out of emotion, which is hilarious, but whatever.
Yeah. And that's actually, like, where it stems from for me personally, is that, like, my whole life I've been really bad about expressing my emotions. Like, anything negative, I just straight up ignored it, and I was like, nope, like, that's not good. Like, have to be happy, have to be bubbly, like, have to be all smiles all the time, and everything's all fine and sunshine and rainbows. And it's something I've been working through in therapy still. And I was like, you know, if it would have been ingrained in me when I was younger, maybe it would be easier. Who knows? Like, I don't know why I am this way. Like, I didn't have a gajillion brothers around me. Like, I was raised by my grandparents, but they never told me things like, hey, stop crying, or anything like that. So I don't know where it came from, but it's probably just society being like, oh, you're a girl, like, you need to not do that. We don't want to see those like emotions around anything. So I don't know, but yeah, like, I think it is incredibly important for everyone, but as y'all have already touched on, especially men who have had it so more frowned upon from society.
Yeah, I agree. I think the biggest thing that I want to take away from like the emotion side of it is that like I was raised where if you tried to say what you were feeling, or if you tried to continue any kind of conversation like that, you were viewed as talking back. And I feel like that has a lot more, that does a lot more internal damage on your mental health as a child. And that's one thing that I'm really going to try and work on with Jenny and any of our future kids, is I want them to be able to speak up whenever they're feeling certain ways. I don't want to try to shut them down and say that they're talking back, because I mean, just seeing it with some of my nieces and nephews, whenever they get shut down, like they start acting out, and a lot of people view it as like them being bad kids. And well, like they're just feeling their emotions because they can't let it out. And that's a big thing, is sometimes you just have to let it out, and they're being told that they're talking back. Yeah, exactly.
We actually deal with that with the older kids, with my stepkids, going back and forth between the two houses. We've experienced it where they'll come over here and something will happen, and we'll be like, well, why didn't you tell us you felt that way? And they're like, I didn't want to get told that I was talking back. And we're like, we don't use that phrase over here. So we're like, we never tell you all those things, but it's like so ingrained in you that you become afraid to express your emotions. So that's something we are actively fighting against with the older kids. I think it's really awesome that you're like already thinking about that when Jenny's like not even 18 months. No, she's 18 months, right?
She's going to be 17 months like next week or something.
She's so young, and like you're already, like you already have the foresight to be like, I don't want to be saying this all the time. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, because I feel like we're already kind of seeing some of that, where if she's fussy and we just don't know why, like there's obviously a reason why. And there's just sometimes whenever like if Jake and I have hit a wall, and sometimes we're frustrated and we're being a little snippy with her, and I'm really trying to be the parent that's trying to stay calm in those moments and tell him like, she's just a baby, she's trying to express how she's feeling, we just have to figure it out. And it's just something that like, right until she can actually tell us things on how she's feeling, it's really hard for us to kind of like move past that and not just shut her down because she's crying. And I feel like it's really easy with babies, like, oh, whatever, they're just crying, like just throw them, give them this toy, distract them with this, whatever. But there's actually like a reason why they're upset, especially now in the toddler stage. I mean, we're all pretty much there where they're not talking that much, but they're learning how to point. They're trying to show you what they want. And sometimes parents aren't paying attention. Like, I know there's times whenever I'm not paying attention to what Jenny's actually pointing at. And it takes me a little bit to really figure out like, oh, you wanted this or whatever it is. So really trying to be conscientious about that.
All right, Jovito, what is your next one?
So this one is sort of like are you okay there? Okay. Judah was making noise. This one is probably gonna be like a polarizing topic. Religion is his choice.
Wholeheartedly agree.
Oh, I definitely agree.
Definitely.
So he has an opinion about it too. I think he wants to be seen. Oh, come here, big boy. So I have encountered quite a few people in my life who are simply not in a religion. They don't have faith. They don't believe in things because it was shoved down their throat. They adamantly reject it because they were forced to participate in it as children. And I don't want to be that parent. My parents gave us the freedom to decide whatever religion we want to be a part of, or that we, you know, they didn't restrict us anyway. And they also, like, if we told them, hey, I want to like go learn about this religion, they would help us. Even if it's not what they believed in or what they wanted, they helped us. You know, my mom was raised Catholic and she went to all the like CCD schools and stuff like that. She hated that she was forced to go to schools. She still has a relationship with religion, but she's not Catholic anymore. And you know,
you muted yourself.
Judah muted me. I was given the freedom to choose my own religion, and I think like that really has fostered my ability to like still be in. Okay. You want me to carry you, but you want to touch the keyboard, but you can't, Papa. Here, I'll turn it off.
You know, I'm not going to lie. I think that's a common thing I've heard with a lot of, like, Catholic people. Like, I actually read a comment on TikTok about this video the other day that was, like, Catholicism is something you do until you're, like, 15. People don't say, like, they are Catholic. They say they were raised Catholic because they eventually don't do the Catholic thing anymore.
I can be like evidence so, to that because yeah,
it's so shoved well, down their throats, and it's, well, I think makes like, you feel very guilty.
Yeah, and I think it's like the old generation that was raised as Catholics, they're like, you have to be a part of this religion. It's so ritualistic that like nothing against the religion, but I think a lot of people think like there's so much that goes into it that they feel it's too much work. And they feel there's a lot of guilt with it. And I still will go to Catholic Mass every now and then. And it's because I was given the freedom to make that choice. You know, it wasn't shoved down my throat. And I know, I don't know if they want me to share it, but I know someone in my life whose parents were very adamantly Catholic. They had to go to church. They had to go to all the classes. And they made them choose religion. And this person vehemently denies religion in any form, doesn't even believe there's a God, like just refuses to be religious because their parents were so religious and so focused on it and are still so focused on it that like they're just like, if something has to be pushed so hard for you to be a part of it, why is it like, is it even real? And so I don't want Judah to struggle with something because I try to shove it down his throat. I want him to make the choice. If he doesn't want to be religious, that's okay. If he does, that's fine. You don't have to be religious. You can be faithful. You can do whatever you want to do because there's a difference between religion and faith. And let's not get all into all of that because it's a big discussion. Mm-hmm. But I want him to have that freedom. I don't want him to feel pressured by me or anyone else about what he believes in. Because so many people's beliefs are formed off of the people that raise them and teach them. And then when they rebel against it, they sometimes rebel in drastic ways. And I don't want that to happen, you know, in drastic ways to where they don't believe in anything at all. Or sometimes there are other drastic ways that they rebel in that lead to not so great things, you know. And I don't want him to, I don't want the way that I teach him any sort of belief to be a catalyst to any negative actions in his future. So I want him to have like a positive relationship with all sorts of beliefs and know that he has the freedom to have a different opinion than me, to have a different belief than me without me rejecting him or, you know, kind of like, can't think of the word right now, but berating him for not believing in the same thing as me. I want him to feel safe in believing in what he wants to believe in and choosing the things he wants to choose.
I agree. I think that is a bigger conversation to have. Like Corey and I could do a whole podcast episode just on like our religious views on how we want to handle that with our families. But I agree. I was raised Catholic and thankfully I had a similar situation where my mom, she doesn't really go to Catholic church anymore, and she allowed us to go to different churches. I mean, I went to a Lutheran school, we all went to a Lutheran college, so like she was like, as long as you believe in something and like you know what you believe in and you're cool with it, then that's fine. And I'm really glad that Jake is on the same page with me about all of that. What about you, Alex?
Like me about religion or like my next
bullet point? Either one.
Yeah, if you have points, that's cool. But if you don't, then what else do you want, hope for your son?
No, about religion, I agree with y'all. I would just be talking in circles if I started talking, which I'm very good at talking in circles, but I don't want to waste your time.
Oh, aren't we?
Honestly feel like I just rambled for like the past 10 minutes. So I was like, wrap it up in my head. That's why I couldn't think of the word I wanted, because I was like, shut up. You're talking.
Listen to our podcast episodes every week. I mean, Cora and I, we pretty much ramble all the time.
It's just hour long ramble session.
Sometimes it helps to have that, you know?
Yeah.
And then I talk back to you guys when y'all are having conversations.
I talk back too. Like, I'm part of the conversation.
Okay. I love that. So actually, touching on that, I wrote down a little note from when you had the goals for your daughters. Sharon, you were talking about how Jenny tries to lick everything. Judah always tries to lick or eat the tables at restaurants, so much so I had to like get little mats to stick to the table so that he wasn't like licking icky stuff constantly.
She's kind of stopped that now, but I will say, if we don't like, she doesn't really do it when she's crying, but there is a spot on her crib, like on the railing of her crib, that there are teeth marks because she just scrapes her teeth there. let me out or something.
So Buddy is like a huge putting everything in his mouth ever since forever, and his bed railing the whole way across has teeth marks going up and down from him like sitting there like gnawing on him. He'll just stand up and start chewing on
him. That's funny. Feel these little thing marks. Yeah, I mean, we got Jenny this thing for Easter. It's one of the No Mess coloring books. And I mean, the invisible ink marker, Jenny, she was coloring with it. And then all of a sudden she looked at it and she stuck it on her tongue. Like, I wonder what this tastes like. And I'm like, girl, don't do that.
Luckily, Claire's done a lot better about sticking things in her mouth. I actually was able to let her play outside, like straight up in the dirt for like 10 minutes today without her sticking any dirt in her mouth. So I found that to be a win. But I will say that she does sometimes do the restaurant thing where she'll like bite down on the table at the restaurant, which is disgusting. And I used to carry a mat around for her, but nothing I carry around anymore works anymore. She just peels it off and throws it on the ground. So.
Same. We had a silicone mat, but yeah, it doesn't work.
Same. No. And then I've gotten a couple of those like packs of like the sticky ones, but yeah, she just like finds a way to get it off. But
yeah,
so
Judah started to do that too, but it slows him down, and I find that helps.
I understand. Yeah.
So what is your next one, Alex?
Yeah.
So my next thing that I really want to emphasize for Buddy while he's growing up and into adulthood also, is that I just want him to love I want him to love hard and often. Like, I want him to love everything that he wants to love and everybody he wants to love, and I want him to be okay like saying that and like putting that label on it. Like, if he loves broccoli and loves soccer, and if he falls in love with his first girlfriend and then his second girlfriend and then his third girlfriend, like, awesome. And I don't want to ever get to the point where I'm like, do you really love her though? Like, you said that a month ago about whoever else. Like, I want to be like, that's awesome. I hope you love her with everything you have for him, with everything you have, and I hope they love you too. And if not, we will pick up the pieces whenever it comes to an end and we will move forward. But I don't want him to be afraid to love. Because it's a hard thing, right? Like, to be that vulnerable with someone. And granted, like, soccer and broccoli can't break your heart. But I want him to be okay loving everything and everyone and putting all of himself out there. Because I think when you're able to look back at your life at our age, and probably even more when we're older, because we're not that old, and be like, wow, I had so much faith in my heart that I used, right? Like, if there wasn't just all this empty space where I could have loved more, like, I don't have all this love left to give. Like, I've given out so much of my love. I think that's a great feeling. And I want him to be able to have them. Just be like, no, I love so much and so many people and so many times of his life. Like, I want him to love, probably not high school, but I want him to love every, like, different phase he goes through in some way or another. And I want him to be able to recognize that.
I like that.
I like that one a lot. Love is important.
Me too.
It's good. It's a good habit.
It just goes back to, like, you know, being in tune with their emotions and being able to feel them and feeling like we can feel them. So,
yeah. Avita, what's your next one?
Or I think you guys actually have the same for the last one. So,
yeah.
You guys want to talk about it together?
And I like Alex's wording on it better. Okay. So I'll let you.
So the wording I have is actually like a saying from some culture that I'm not going to guess incorrectly, but it's be okay with falling down 7 times and standing up 8. So essentially, like, keep trying and it's okay to fail, and don't let failure stop you from trying again if it's something you want to do, right? Like, don't try to go after everything if you hate it, but if it's something that's important to you or your loved one in a way that is also important to you, particularly, just keep trying. Don't be afraid to fail and don't let it stop you. Like, if you fall off of a horse but you really want to ride a horse, don't be like, oh, well, I couldn't do it last time, so I'm not going to be able to do it this time. Like, you're like, no, I didn't do it last time, but maybe this time will be the time I finally learn. And if not, maybe it's next time.
That makes me think about the Hilary Duff movie, Cinderella Story.
I was trying so hard not to quote it. Yes.
Yep.
Never let the fear of striking out keep you from playing the game.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel so hard into that goal for Judah. I wrote, it's okay to fall and get back up again. And it's because of how I treat myself when I fail. I would put so much pressure on myself to be perfect, that it would eat away at me, that it would slow me down from, it would eat away at me when I failed, that it would slow me down. Okay. It would slow me down from, like, reaching my goals, or it would pull me away from something that I found so much joy in. You know, when I was in high school, I was a mariachi singer and I was my own harshest critic. And my dad absolutely loved any time I sang. But when I would judge myself, I would sing less. And I sang less and less as I got older. And I think one thing that I regret was not singing more for my father before he passed. Because it was like, I was judging myself, but he loved every single bit of whatever I sang, he did not hear the flaws in the things that I did. Sorry. And it was like, I'm not even failing. Like, I'm sort of missing a note here, but you're not actually failing. You're still achieving because you're learning and you're moving and you're growing. And if I had held on to, like, that I was actually bringing joy to people or accomplishing something, I probably would have sang more and been able to sing for my father more. But I focused too much on the failing and I stopped myself from doing it. And I don't want Judah to do that. I don't want him to focus too much on when he loses at something or if he fails at a goal that he wants to reach, I want him to keep going for it, because then he won't accomplish the thing he wants to accomplish, or he won't be in that joy longer because he's focusing on the failing. And that's a hard lesson that I had to learn recently, was I focused too much on my failing, on my imperfections, and I did not just enjoy it. Sorry.
No, that's okay.
Yeah, that's unfathomable for, you know, lesson to have to learn. But I think it's definitely one that we can all take something away from.
Yeah, I agree.
Alex, do you have anything that you want to add to that, or?
I don't. I think that was beautiful and beautifully said, and yes. I don't want to take away from it.
Perfect. I agree. I think that you guys have touched on some really good points today, and I really appreciate you guys, you know, taking the time to think about, well, first of all, to listen to our episode where we talked about our goals for having girls in the world, and to, you know, make your own points and to think about what's important to you guys moving forward as, you know, quote unquote boy moms, but just moms of humans that are going to be in the world and impacting people. So we really appreciate you, your conversation, and your opening up to us.
Yeah, we're really happy to have y'all are the first double guests that we have,
yeah,
that we've had on the podcast. So, and then Jovita, you set a record now. This is your third time coming back.
Woo-woo.
Yeah, she's a frequent flyer guest for sure.
I think it's because I chose to live in Texas again. Y'all are let's get Jovita back on.
I told you whenever we started the podcast, and you were like, oh yeah, and I'm probably gonna stay. And I was like, Jovita's trying to become the third host of our podcast.
Mm-hmm. That's not fair. Let me move back to San Antonio. I'll be on every week.
There you go. You're always welcome on, Alex, both of you guys.
Yeah, we love having y'all, and we're really glad that y'all listen, and yes, really happy that y'all came on to talk today, because I think it was really good conversation. Pretty much everything that Cora and I said in our episode and stuff that y'all said here, it can relate to all kids, but I really enjoyed hearing y'all's perspective as to how y'all want this to affect your little boys growing up in the world.
Yeah, definitely. And I just last time, but thank y'all so much for having me. It's always fun to catch up with y'all and see y'all faces on here and the little baby appearances too.
Well, unfortunately, Alex, we don't have rapid fire questions this week for y'all, but we are going to do a round of oh shits and oh yes. And y'all can go first.
Alex, I'll let you go first.
Okay. Let's see. My oh shit is that I've been overstimulated for a week. It's just been nonstop noises triggering me. And it won't even be anything bad is happening. It'll just be there's so much of it, and there's been so much of it all day that by dinner time, if there's two conversations going on, I'm done and I feel like I'm losing my mind. So it's been really hard. I wanted to just put the white noise on my phone and put in my ear pods so I just don't hear anything else. So working through that. And then it's just my buddy's at such a fun stage right now. He's just turned two, and he thinks he's hilarious no matter what he does. So he's just constantly laughing. And he's starting to play more with the older kids, catch, and we got him a basketball hoop for his birthday, one of those little Pike ones. So he's playing basketball all the time or jumping on his trampoline. It's super fun. He has started climbing on top of windowsills, which is not fun. But everything else, he's just at such a fun age, even though it comes with its challenges. But I'm really excited about where he's at right now. Oh, and a non-baby related, oh yeah, is that I pruned all of my garden today, so it's ready for spring.
Awesome. I would love to have a garden, but our dog would tear it up, so
We just have a lavender plant and then like two other plants next to it and one rose bush, but they're like in the front yard, so not dog accessible.
Jovita, what about you?
My oh shit is that Judah is learning how to open doorknobs. I don't have the round ones. I have the like long handle ones and he's figured them out. And so now I have to like baby proof those. But my oh yeah is that I just got, I had a meeting recently where my boss told me that I'm getting a raise. So
woo woo. That's awesome.
So, but an oh yeah for Judah is that he is starting to talk more and say more words and be a lot more vocal. So it's helping with like our communication with each other. So, you know, it really does help, especially if it's just me and him, oh, bless you, to be able to communicate better. And he's doing really well with his sign language as well. Instead of, you know, the normal, I'm hungry, it's like, ah, put food in my mouth. But he's been better with his like verbal language and his actual sign language. So our communication is getting better.
That was awesome. Almost verbatim what Sharon's oh yeah was yesterday. So it's just funny because your kiddos are like the same age. So I remember like when Claire was 17 months, that's when she started talking a lot more around 18 months. And she's, I mean, doing a lot more and more now. So it's just, it's cute to see.
Yeah.
All right, Sharon, you can go next because I went I went first last time, so I can go last this time.
Okay. My oh shit is Jenny said her first cuss word the other day. So that was fun.
What'd she say?
So she said fuck. like straight up. And I mean she repeated it after me because I said it and it was on Easter. And so like I said in our Easter recap that we dumped all of her snacks into her bucket. Well, at lunchtime, I ended up kicking the bucket or tripping over it, and it all fell. And so then, like, I said, fuck, and then Jenny repeated it, and I looked at her, and I was like, shit. And then I stopped, and I was like, I couldn't just stop. And she was just laughing. She thought it was the funniest thing. But she hasn't learned that word. Like she just repeated what I said, so it's not like she's learned a new word. Thankfully she's not gonna go around to daycare and just start saying it over and over again, which is good. And she's only said it that one time after me, so that's just something like Jake and I, we knew it was gonna happen. We knew that was coming, so it was kind of funny when it happened. But my oh yeah is pretty much the same thing as last time, same thing as Jovita, is just Jenny's communication. But like today we were playing outside in the backyard and she has her little swing and slide set out there, and she's just getting really good at being able to tell me what she wants when she's not overloaded with her emotions and crying. And like today she wanted to go down the slide. She knows how to go up and down all by herself. And then she didn't want to slide anymore. She stood in front of the swing and she pointed at it and said, mama, mama. She's starting to point at things and say, mama, to get my attention. And I'm like, oh, you want to swing? And we got in the swing. And then she's starting to say all done whenever she wants to stop. And so it's just the communication is just getting really good. And it's making certain things so much easier. That is probably going to be my oh, yeah, for many, many weeks to come, because certain things are just getting so much easier than it was before.
That's cool. So I'm trying to think of something that's different than yesterday. Is my oh shit. But I guess even still next week. So when this is coming out, I will be like balls deep in my moving, because we're moving officially like the week after that. So I just really need to do more packing because there's a lot that's not packed up yet. But this weekend, like Friday, we're gonna like get a rug doctor and go over there and like do all the carpets and everything, just so that we can get any remnants of people that used to live there out And we still have some paint touch-ups to do on the wall, so we're going to do that. That way we can start actually putting stuff in there, because we just want to get that done before we actually put furniture in there, because then we just have to move it all around, blah, blah, blah. So trying to get all those little things taken care of in our free time has just been basically been an oh shit. But my oh yeah is when this episode comes out, it will be the last episode that comes out before Sharon and I go to the Taylor Swift concert. And I'm so excited. I've been sitting here pretty much this entire time that we've been recording, and I've been making friendship bracelets. And,
I was watching.
Yeah. And I've been having a grand old time. But yeah, so excited, counting down the days. Yeah. Taylor.
I'm excited. Can't wait.
And then I'll be counting down the days again, because then I get to go to the concert again with Alex in July. Woo-woo.
Yay. Am I the only, like, non-Swifty fanatic in this call?
I'm not a fanatic. I'm, like, a normal Swifty.
I mean, if you want to come to Colorado in July, I do have an extra ticket, so you can...
You could come to Colorado in July.
What dates?
July 14th is the concert. So you let me know. Man. You just think about it and get back to me.
And I was going to say,
if you want to be,
I really want to go.
Who's going to watch Judah?
My husband and her husband.
Right?
There we go. Okay.
So we got two other babies in the mix. Come on.
There we go.
They're not coming to the
It'll
concert.
Just be a baby party, and we'll be at the Taylor Swift concert. Mom, I mean, honestly, you guys are convincing me.
Yeah, it's like, that sounds like a fun idea. I'm just saying. It is going to be a fun time.
It really does. How do you have an extra ticket? It's like
freshman year of college again.
It would be. I am mad. Oh, my God. Yes. I know.
Well, now I'm upset if I'm not going to go with all three of y'all.
Jared's going to be so mad.
You know, I'm like seeing people like post their outfits for Taylor Swift concerts, and I'm like, you know what? I have some stuff that I could wear to a Taylor Swift concert, but like, I'm not going. Maybe I'm going.
Okay, so actually, Jovita, there is a thing on Instagram right now where some company is giving away tickets to the Houston show the same night that Cora and I are going, because I was tagged in it by one of my cousins.
No,
yeah, you can win them for free.
Come to Denver.
I mean,
forget Houston. Like, then I'll be left out.
Alex is like, no, I want to be the one that the most people are gonna be at.
I'm gonna be at Cora and just be like a double header, you know, going to Houston and Denver. Then you guys are gonna convert me to a Swiftie within the span of like, you know, 2 months.
Okay with this. I already got Sharon.
Well, I already obsessed with you about other things. I don't know if I can add this.
I'm gonna tell you, it's a lot to add. There's a lot to get through.
There is. The things that you guys like go on about in our text messages, I get so lost and overwhelmed sometimes. I'm like, I'm gonna come back to this.
Have you been listening to the podcast episodes where we just rant about all this stuff going on?
There's like 200 songs alone, not to mention the lore.
Oh, goodness.
But anyways, so by the next time that you hear it from us, we will have experienced all that is the Eras Tour live. So definitely expect us to be talking about that on the next episode. So if that's not something you want to hear about, I don't recommend tuning in next time.
Yeah, it's just going to be like Eras Tour recap. Eras Tour was awesome. Whatever the title will be.
Yeah,
it's so. All going to be about... the Eras Tour.
This is officially a Taylor
y'all
Swift podcast.
Make y'all promo for that episode, like y'all's outfit for that day. Like, make sure y'all take a really cute picture together and then make that.
Don't worry, promo. We will. We will have so many pictures and videos.
We have all of the videos on TikTok saved of the different transitions people are doing that we want to do. We like have all of the different pictures that people have taken that we want to take. And yeah. We're on top of all that.
Is this the longest it's taken y'all to talk about Taylor Swift in any episode?
No, we don't talk about her all that much. We've just increased our talking about her lately because it's getting closer to the concert and the Eras Tour started. So there's much to discuss. But there was a spike in popularity when Midnights came out. And pretty much I talk about her a lot during Oh Shits and Oh Yeahs. But, you know.
Mm-hmm. At least I can contribute to this and not the Big Brother stuff, because there was for a while all of her oh shits no yes were about Big Brother, and I was left out because I don't watch it.
Loma reached out to me on TikTok. It was weird, and I was the first person she reached out to after she self-evicted from the house. That's kind of a big deal. You just don't understand, Sharon.
I don't.
It really is a big deal. I mean, like, I'm with you on the, like, Big Brother fandom, so.
Thank you. All right, well, seems like a good place to cut things short. So, you guys, if you have any suggestions for us on how to rein this in, you should reach out to us on social media. You can find us at Learning on the Job Moms at pretty much any social media, or at learningonthejobmoms@gmail.com.
Yeah, and don't forget to send us your ideas for other non-mom topics. Non-Taylor Swift, non-Harry Potter, things that we talk about all the time. Self-care, finding yourself, rediscovering yourself. It can be mom-related-esque, but not necessarily like learning on the job mom type stuff. But yeah, let us know your thoughts, and we hope you have a fantastic day. And thank you all again for joining us this week on this episode.
Thank you so much to Alex and Jovita. Do you guys want to be found anywhere? I figure I should ask you.
I have the same one I had last time, if you want to follow that. But I don't post on it often because toddlers.
Okay, so Buddy's back, and JoJo Vita 34.
Yep.
Yeah, I am good. All right. So log on to the Instagrams if you want to find them, and they're cute kids.
And
or at least the back of Alex's cute kid. You're not privy to get to see Buddy's face, but I promise you, he's really cute. Really cute.
He's super cute. And so is Judah.
Yes, but Judah's face, so you'll get to see that in person. So,
but he may not smile in the pictures.
No,
but he's got the cutest little mean mug. He does.
But thanks again for listening, everyone. Thanks again for guesting, you guys, and we'll talk to y'all next time. Bye.
Goodbye. Bye.